Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Why did you give him coffee? Why? you know what it does.
He asked me to get him coffee with cream.
Because he's a nice guy.
Is that coffee any good? I have no idea how to make coffee.
I drank the whole cup. Usually elite. That baby's dry.
Oh, good. So today's going to be fun, guys.
Yeah, put about a little Debbie's worth of sugar in that thing.
You may want
to. Debbie's worth.
No wonder I'm fired up.
Oh, well, I'd say this. It worked instantly. But look, y'all have all been wondering, and we're here to tell you. You've been wondering who won the Zoom call with Uncle Si.
Do we know who won?
Do y'all know?
No.
Oh, wait, I do. Perfect. Okay. There congratulations, Godwin, you want to give us a drum roll? You're the noisemaker. To Megan Cherry, you are the winner of the Zoom call with Uncle Si.
Hey, I like the name.
Megan Cherry,
yeah,
you like that?
I like the name.
That's awesome. Look, Megan, we need you to send us an email to hello@duckcallroom.com, and we will make arrangements for you or someone of your choosing to have the Zoom call with Uncle Si.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
So,
she can have more than one person there, huh?
She can pile in as many as she wants to.
She can make it a party.
As long as you fit on the screen. Yeah.
If you fit on the screen, bring them all. But look, 15 minutes is 15 minutes.
That's all.
Just because you bring somebody else don't mean you get 30.
The man's
And hey, that's a lifetime.
It really is for sure.
It's a long time.
It's like three lifetimes if you're a fruit fly, so that's kind of cool. But anyway, so Megan, shoot us an email. Congratulations. That's awesome. Look, for all of y'all that have subscribed thus far, thank you. And look, if you're new here, youtube.com/duckcallroom, all one word.
Hashtag.
And make sure you do what, Gavin?
Ring that bell.
You ring the bell.
Like and subscribe.
Excuse me. Turn on notifications.
It wasn't bad, man. It was good coffee, boys.
When we have new episodes. Yeah, it was still set up for Stone. He got a little longer arm than you got going, but that's all right. So
this is the bail room instead of the duck call room, boys.
It is today.
That's it. That thing's got a good sound to it today. I guess the air is real clear today.
No, that's because you drink coffee and you're hitting it hard.
Well, hey. That's what it is.
Your senses.
No wonder my hand hurts.
I'm worried about the table. Boys.
You worried about the table?
No, that table survived.
It's a piece of junk. Hey, don't worry about the table, J.D. Hey, we can always bring in a new table. Tables are, what is the deal I'm looking, the word I'm looking for? Expendable.
Replaceable?
Yeah. Expendable and replaceable.
They're just like me.
Well, I wouldn't know about that. I wouldn't replace you. There, big man. Hey.
But, Godwin, welcome back, man. It's been a couple of weeks.
Yeah, where you been, Godwin?
I went to
Well, what did you do in Alabama?
A little bit higher.
I can't get there, son.
I got to go up there and to a writer's camp.
Yep,
fishing for Mossback sent me and B&M and Jeff.
Okay.
Crappie Magnet. It was pretty cool. It's pretty up there. It was.
What lake was you on?
Wetumpka. I was on the Alabama River.
Wetumpka?
Wetumpka, Alabama.
Yep. I know about Wetumpka.
Do you?
It's on HGTV.
Oh.
They won something.
That's the show Hometown.
That's the Indian makeover deal.
We watch a lot of Hometown at my house.
You're really telling on yourself here.
Yeah,
pal.
We like HGTV at our house.
Okay.
And it's a cool city because they got that cool bridge.
Yep.
And there's like, it's a cool town.
Were there trolls under the bridge?
Were there fish under the bridge?
No, I didn't stop under the bridge.
That fish on there.
You got to be going pretty careful right there because the bedrock's come up. They said a meteor hit there. It's one of the biggest places in the United States for meteor, finding meteors.
In Wetumpka, Alabama?
In Wetumpka, Alabama.
What does Wetumpka mean?
Yeah. Give me a second.
Yeah. I don't know. It means lots of crappie. I know that.
The Creek phrase, Wawamtaka, meaning rumbling waters.
Rumbling water.
Rumbling water.
Was the water rumbling?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. It's full of them crappie, boys. They're rumbling.
So there we go. So Godwin's been in Alabama. Did you hear anybody say Roll Tide while you were there?
Ugh.
Over and over.
Why do they do that?
Because they can't help themselves.
I don't like.
Because they're good again.
But, I mean, they do it like, hey, I'd like a large coffee. Roll Tide.
And they put it in every song.
Roll Tide.
Yeah. Every song.
Well, that's a good phrase.
Why?
Unless you use it at the wrong places. Like I did a lot of times when I was out speaking.
You use Roll Tide a lot?
Yeah. I did that in South Carolina one time.
You probably shouldn't have done that.
And oh, no. No, they didn't like it.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
What is the Gamecocks?
South Carolina?
Yeah, that's the first time I walked out on stage, and I looked at them, and I said, Roll Tide. Boo, hisses, rotten vegetables, everything come my way on stage.
Them Gamecocks ain't got nothing to be mad about. They ain't been competitive in years.
Yeah.
Just be careful here.
Yeah. You know, I said, hey, look, people need to get a life. It was a joke, for crying out loud.
I had an Alabama fan fishing with me, and I made him fish with a purple chartreuse slab curly.
Go Tigers.
Go Tigers.
I guarantee you. I like that.
And he smoked.
That's good.
Did he? And he smoked you.
He said, I don't know. I said, I don't. He said, I don't want to fish with this. I said,
yeah, you do.
Reel that one in, we'll talk
that's
about
right. Yeah. Reel him on in.
Didn't catch nothing off red and white, did he?
Nope.
That's what I'm talking about.
There's never even been a red and white fishing bait that works.
Oh, man, there's a bunch of them.
Right. Yeah, it doesn't
them
work.
Them old school headings, they work good, man. That old redhead.
Old redhead, whatever.
Them things caught a lot more fish than I ever have.
H&H.
With a red head?
With a red head and white skirt.
There you go. See?
Well.
But when I see that, I don't, just because I see the colors red and white, I don't have the semblance to go, Roll Tide.
I do.
I
can't help it. Okay.
It's just in his blood.
He knows his fan. He's an entertainer, boys. I mean, let's not get it twisted.
Look, our comment section's going to just be awful. It's going to be Roll Tide.
What do you mean?
All you're going to see is RTR down there.
Hey, it's a good phrase, boys.
I'm fine with it being a phrase for football, for basketball.
Well, everybody gets mad because, hey, they win a lot.
That's fine, too, but I'm just saying you don't have to do it in everyday life.
At church.
I don't yell hoodat when I meet somebody just because I like the Saints.
Yeah.
And that's what they do.
I usually yell that when I don't know who they are.
I don't yell cut them just because I'm talking to somebody and I like duck hunting.
That's just like the war eagle. Okay, I got in trouble with the war eagle.
Well, they deserve it, though. You got too many mascots.
Well, hey, they got a stupid war eagle. That's why I told them they need to kill the one they got.
What does this mean?
And I got booed on that at Auburn, okay? But then I said, hey, wait a minute, hold it. Let me explain to you why I said you got to kill this eagle. I said, number one, he's confusing your running backs. Because, hey, you let him loose, he flies around the stadium a couple times, and then he lights on the 50-yard line. I said, kill him, train you another one, and let him light in the end zone. That way your running back and your receivers know where they need to go. Hey. Oh, I got booed. So I got booed off stage that night too.
You said that.
I said it.
So he's training the football players.
That's it. Boy,
somebody
hey,
training
that's
him.
That's right. Hey,
what about halftime?
You got to get it right. Hey, you don't want the eagle landing on 50-yard line.
I do think Auburn people need to pick a mascot though.
Hey,
they got seven different animals.
You're gonna get in deeper trouble than I was.
What for saying you can't have a tiger and an eagle?
Oh no. You're okay. Fun with the war eagle, son.
But you're that's the Tigers.
Sacred. That's sacred over there in Auburn, okay? Do not mess with the war eagle.
I'm nervous.
Are you hear the war eagle scream, and they're coming for you?
I got nothing.
Okay.
I know one thing. Okay. That stadium is one of the hardest places to go in and win a football game.
Which one?
Auburn.
Either one.
Alabama gets chopped down. LSU get chopped down. Technicalities all around. When you go there... That's a rough place to play.
Oh.
It's rough. Yeah, they always seem to pull out the big ones. I mean, you know, that's the one with the miracle, you know.
They got good fans.
Saban got cocky, tried to field goal.
They got faithful fans, boys.
LSU against Auburn got called for the only time you've ever heard that stupid penalty used. They got it.
What penalty?
Something about how, and it wasn't leverage, it was the way that they jumped over the deal in the game that was like 9-6.
Yeah.
Like the biggest gar of all gars. I mean, it's you go into Auburn, you pretty well be counting on toting an L out of that place.
Well, because you're playing two teams, the Eagles and the Tigers.
Yeah.
It's not fair.
Unless you're the Tennessee Vols, and they can go in there and win because, well,
both of them are bad. Tennessee. The Tigers bad and the Screaming Eagles bad.
All I know, there's good fish in there.
At Auburn?
And at Alabama.
In Wetumpka.
In Wetumpka.
And they got nice new houses, thanks to Hometown on HGTV.
That's right. Hometown.
They're not even our sponsors, but that being an Aaron Napier, they just make me happy.
Well,
I like
them
more than Chip and Joe.
Wetumpka?
Wetumpka.
Hey, that's just a cool phrase, too. Wetumpka.
It's a good town name.
Hey, you know Wetumpka?
Means lots of crappie.
That's right. Lots of crappie. Wetumpka, boys.
I'd rather be there than Tuscaloosa. I said it. Roll Tide. Ugh.
I feel dirty. Can we take a break or do we have to keep going?
No,
I'm sick of talking about this.
I think it's time to take a break.
I think we're right up on the break. We'll be back right after this.
I need some coffee.
Godwin, go get you some coffee. Crazy time.
It's a PR problem.
A PR problem, boys.
And we're not talking about Phil Robertson for once.
That's it. Public relations.
Public how cool would it be if Phil was in charge of our PR? Public relations.
You don't want that.
We wouldn't have any.
Yay.
I would fix that.
Yay, Italia. That's where we'd be at this point.
He likes Italian-made shotguns. That's all we can
say. And meatballs.
Meatballs. Who makes the best meatballs? Italia. Who makes the best shotguns? Italia.
Oh,
it's simple math.
That's kind of weird, isn't it?
What's that?
That Italians make the best shotguns.
I don't know if it's weird or not. They've been doing it a long time.
They make the best a lot of things.
Yeah.
And they got good pizza.
What are you talking about?
I dated a young lady that was Italian. She cooked me homemade pizza.
That's good.
From scratch. Oh, yeah.
I remember, and Godwin may remember this. Si, I don't know if you were even paying attention, but when we first signed with Benelli back in 2005,
way back then,
we were at SHOT Show, all that mess going on, and one of the head ladies from Italy was there, and we were all introducing, meeting, shaking hands, you know, proud to be a part of the team or whatever. And Phil said, "Oh, you're from Italy. Y'all make good pizza."
Yeah.
And that lady just looked at him straight face, said, "Sir, we make good shotguns."
Hey, we make good shotguns.
And Phil had no reply.
And no reply.
No, Phil was like
blank.
He went.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The classic Phil thumbs up.
You got it, baby.
She had him speechless. She did. He said, "Oh, Italy, y'all make good pizzas." "Sir, we make good shotguns." And that's one of the – there's like a handful of times I can remember Phil being somewhat speechless. That was one of them. He was like, "Yeah, I got nothing."
I ain't got no comeback for you there, darling.
Oh, man alive. But
– I do like pizza.
I do, too.
Hey, the cheese she used.
Yeah.
This is the girl you were dating?
Oh, no.
I'll
go
down this road. Let's talk about pizza.
Let's talk about pizza.
I'm in the zone. We have finally hit my bang zone.
She brought it
out,
I started gagging.
What?
That's how bad it smelt.
The cheese?
And she said, don't put that on you ain't putting that on the one I'm eating, right?
Yeah,
she said, oh, yeah.
It's turned.
And I said, whoa. She said, "Hey, who's the Italian here and who's the pizza maker?" She said, "You just wait until I bring it to you." But, hey, the cheese, this stunk worse than a dead goat. I'm serious. But, hey, it did
worse
taste
than a dead
wonderful.
Goat it came from.
The pizza was excellent. Okay. But, hey, you don't want to be there when they're cooking it.
Question one. How many dead goats have you smelled in your life?
A lot.
Yeah, okay. That's going to be a bunch.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They grew up on a farm, man. Hey, goats was used for everything.
Hey, goats, two, okay. Yeah. Like, my father... He raised a big, big garden.
Yeah. Goats was $20 bills back in them days.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, big garden.
And everybody had a herd of them.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about a
they
garden.
They milked them and then made cheese out of the milk.
So was that cheese better than goat cheese?
I don't know because, hey, look.
He knows it was made from Italy with love. That's what he knows.
That's right.
It is good.
And she was a fine little thing.
There you go.
Okay.
All right, Si, so you're
going. If you're listening, lady.
Hey.
You're going to order a pizza. What's on it?
Huh? What's on it?
Yeah.
It'll be pepperoni, jalapeno peppers. Okay.
That's it. That's all you need.
And cheese. Oh, well, you gotta have cheese.
Well, yeah.
Of all kinds. Okay.
I'm assuming cheese is on everybody.
Yeah. Is that that's really your pizza order?
No. I'm serious.
Love it.
Me and Si have the same pizza.
And you brick it.
Okay.
Okay, and that means all that means is you cook it one time, and then you put it back in the oven.
Run it back through
for another.
You like a little crunch to your pizza.
I like a little crunch.
Yeah. Around here, I call that well done.
I will add breakfast sausage and bacon sometimes.
Yeah.
Well, no, because I was shocked. A buddy of mine that I played poker with, he come in one night and he said, "Hey, I ordered you a pizza specially for you. It's my birthday." And it had jalapeno peppers, pepperoni, and hamburger meat. And it was actually, I ate the whole thing.
Okay.
It was actually good. Really.
He's a meat lovers with jalapeno.
Oh, no, yeah. So, Goblin, you got to have jalapeno peppers.
Goblin, where are you at?
Canadian bacon and mushroom.
Uh-oh.
Shocker. Yeah, Goblin's got ham on something. Okay. And a new development.
A ham sandwich pizza.
Yeah. Goblin has got a deconstructed ham sandwich. Yeah.
Oh, no, that reminds me.
What's wrong with ham?
That reminds me, in Germany, when I was stationed over in the military, I went to the place down there, a restaurant, that cooked excellent pizza, okay? And look, they're 12 inches, okay, same thing. Jalapeno with pepperoni, okay. I ordered me about three of them, and look, they were so thin, the crust was, and so good, I would just take it and make it like a poor boy. I'd roll it.
She had a pizza roll.
And, hey, and ate three of them.
That's like sushi.
Yeah,
I'm
three
interested.
Of them.
We got
I'm
interested in that.
Hey, this was, I ate three 12 inches, okay.
Yeah. Good grief. Well, I've seen seven hamburgers,
and look,
so I know you
they
can
would
do
just
it.
Melt in your mouth. You didn't even have to chew them. You just bit them and swallowed them.
Mm.
That's amazing.
So I wish I had four or five.
Somebody
right
order
now.
Us a pizza.
Johnny D, so you're
well, so I'm a connoisseur. We do.
Uh-oh, he's a pizza connoisseur.
We do pizza night at our house once a week, but we make the pizza.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
My wife's
is homemade.
Yeah, my wife's a sourdough
it's
lady.
It's not Gidordo?
The what, huh?
That's what I say.
Okay. No.
It's not delivery.
No, it's Allison. So she does the sourdough pizza. She rolls all that out. I make the sauce.
Yeah, where's that sourdough bread you're supposed to be bringing? Yeah.
She made two jalapeno and cheddar loaves this morning. Ooh. One's for my sister and one's for me. But, yeah, I need
cheese. About 8 weeks cheese ago, loaf. He was going to bring
Yeah,
that.
I forgot.
Yeah, cheese loaf.
I forgot. All right. I'll text her right now. But – so we do that. But my favorite pizza in town, there's a little small place in town that has a muffaletta pizza. So it's got, you know, the pepperoni and then the salami.
The olive mix.
And then the olive mix.
Oh, no, throw the salami.
What about
you don't like salami?
No.
What about a cauliflower crust?
Nope.
Why not?
Hey,
I'm against
if
it.
If David Martinez cooked it, you'll eat it.
I just don't understand
Stone's
why.
Friend.
My problem with cauliflower, let it be cauliflower. Quit calling it rice. Quit calling it mashed. Quit calling it. Just call it what it is, cauliflower.
It's a cauliflower.
I'll say this.
Well, they do.
Eventually. But they have to dress it up to make you eat it. Like, oh, that's just crust.
It's good. Well, it's good anyway.
Cauliflower?
Yeah.
Crunchy.
It's all right.
Yeah.
Crunchy.
Broccoli's better.
Well,
you put some cauliflower in a casserole dish and pour a bunch of cheese on top of it.
Yeah, okay.
You can do that with anything.
Pour cheese and bacon on it. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm sure it's terrible. You know, I mean.
No, you still taste.
And then dip it in ranch dressing. Like,
No, don't do that.
That sounds good.
Cover it up with everything that's really good.
Yeah. You still taste the cauliflower.
Put a lot of distractions around
it's
it.
Just
it's
like
really
a,
good.
Yeah.
It's a modified tater. That's all it is.
Modified
tater,
boys. A good cauliflower crust, though, is not bad.
No, it's
but
not
it's
bad.
It's just kind of pointless.
I'd much rather have flour.
If you're
well,
going for
because all you're doing is bland, and then you have to add the other ingredients to kick it up right where you need it.
Yeah, I don't know how to cook.
And at some
point, I don't want to hear that.
We're going to start a fight.
That's right.
But at some point, like, you got to just accept the fact
it's a good fight.
That you're eating pizza, and there's no need for vegetables to health this thing up.
Yeah, I mean,
it's pizza.
Life's too short to not eat a pizza. Like, I'm not saying you got to eat it every day, but you can eat the flour crust. That's fine. Like one.
And if you can't eat flour, there's some people in this world that can't eat flour.
Make it your best.
Do the cauliflower.
I would love for you to do it.
And I would eat it with you. But
I like everything y'all said. The only thing, I got to have black olives on mine. Ooh. I love black olives.
No, no, no.
I like an olive love mix. Them. Love
my wife
olives.
Buys me those that are in the little plastic container.
Mm-hmm.
And I just sit in front of the TV.
I
and
eat
pop
the
it,
whole
and
thing. Yeah,
hey,
buddy.
She was giving me the regular cans.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And but I like now, and I love banana peppers on mine too.
No, no. So. Banana peppers are solid.
Yeah. So you know, but all the meat, like you ain't you, whatever meat you got, let's hit it.
Except for anchovies.
Just run it through the garden.
I mean, I can eat an anchovy if I got to.
Run it through the garden.
You know, but it's fine.
But that's why Johnny's Pizza here, our local pizza place, is awesome because they have the world famous
Sweep
the Kitchen.
Oh, yeah. Anchovies, add jalapenos.
Hey, sweet.
And bacon.
There you go, pizza,
boys. And bacon. Yeah.
And you know what that basically is? All of it.
All of it. Yeah.
Run through the garden.
I ain't run across.
Throw everything you got on it.
I ain't run across a pizza I won't try. Yeah. So,
I got one.
Oh.
Is it one of them artichoke things?
Well,
I might could do that.
Oh, okay.
We need to discuss this. It's a major controversy here in the United States of America.
What was that word?
Controversy. It's going to catch on.
Yeah, it's going to catch on.
It already caught on in England.
It ain't controversy.
Pineapple on pizza. It's go.
Pineapple on pizza.
Absolutely not.
No.
I'm a hard ass.
Pineapple on pizza.
No. Pineapple on pizza? No.
No.
You don't ruin a good pineapple.
I tell you what.
You heard it
on
in the duck call room first. Yeah. Don't do it, people.
Hey. No. You take
just
a can of
pineapple
slices
and
poke holes in the bottom of the can and throw it in there when you boil crawfish.
And then throw it away.
I tried that.
No, it's good.
I tried that.
Really. I just don't like pineapple.
Sweet taters.
I like
cut them up in there.
The last time I boiled crawfish, I tried the pineapple thing. I don't think the holes were big enough because all I had was hot pineapple.
Yeah.
Like the juices didn't interchange.
Huh. Yeah, so. I just don't like
you what were you trying
like
to do?
Pineapple.
Give it a sweet flavor? The crawfish?
It was just kind of
no,
like
it
a
don't
sweet
do nothing
heat.
To the crawfish. Uh-uh. It makes your pineapple hot. Like you got
it's
like a
spicy.
Tart.
Like a sweet heat.
A tart, sweet.
It's good.
No, I just like plain pineapple. I don't need to be.
Yeah,
I don't need to be putting crawfish.
Well, that's what I thought too when somebody put peanut butter on
a BLT.
Yeah.
Oh, my daddy, that was the only way he'd eat a BLT.
I was thinking, no, that ain't gonna work.
It
works.
Yeah, it does.
You know what my favorite version of that is?
What?
Skip the tea. Peanut butter, lettuce, bacon is fantastic.
Really?
Fantastic.
You don't like tomatoes?
I don't like a raw mater. I love maters cooked. Love them when they're cooked down.
That's so funny.
Don't care
ketchup?
For them raw.
And don't care for them raw. Because I'm just the opposite.
Yeah.
I love onions raw. But don't put onion in.
I love a cooked onion, too.
No. Yeah.
But I can take a plug out of an onion raw, too, like an apple. Ain't no problem for me. Yeah. So.
I like it raw.
But, maters, when they transform, when you cook them, get way better to me. I mean, I can eat them, but I just prefer not to.
I like to go garden.
What about
one off
beets?
Off the plant.
No,
pepper.
Beet. I'm out on that.
I know. Miss Paula cooked some beets the other day.
Oh, no.
It's supposed to be, tastes like a mouthful of dirt.
Well, hey, she didn't wash them. She didn't wash them.
Yes, she did.
No, she didn't. If it tastes like dirt, she didn't wash them.
No, because, look.
She just pulled them out of the garden and threw them in the pot.
We was at a crawfish boil the other night, and they throwed beets in there with that, and that tastes like dirt, too. Same thing. I said, no. They was eating it up, said how good it was. No.
Oh, Lord. Well, let's take a break. We'll be right back after
the
this.
Beets?
I'm hungry now.
Yeah.
The beet goes on.
I texted my wife, Godwin. I said, we owe Godwin a loaf of sourdough, and her exact response was, ?
Yeah.
Ooh.
We?
So I'm saying owe him, but
You got a mouse in your old pocket?
Yes. I would say, yes, we are a team.
Yeah, no, I did. I said, well, I owe him one, and you're the baker, so I'm going to get that for you. My bad.
Awesome.
I totally forgot.
In 8 weeks or less.
Yeah, well.
Or it's free.
Oh, Lord,
it was amazing. Already free. Oh,
so,
goodness gracious.
You just said you was going to bring it about 8 weeks
I know,
ago,
and I forgot, and I apologize.
I hadn't tasted it yet. I like that sour, though.
It's good.
Well, hey, I ain't heard your trumpet yet. You said you was going to bring that for about 4 or 5 days ago.
We did have an email that said, reminder.
I'd have to practice.
We done quit preaching and got to meddling in here now. I ain't forgot nothing, have I? I'm just worried if I'm next.
Maybe.
Golly.
Yep, hold on. Zach sent an email in.
Is that old Zach?
About a week ago. Nope.
Oh, ain't
I don't think I'm allowed to say his last name, but he said, reminder, still looking forward to Godwin playing the trumpet.
That's it.
Loves y'all show. It keeps me laughing constantly while I work. I hope. Zach, that's why I didn't use your last name in case your boss is listening.
There you go.
Trumpet! !!
Oh, man. Well.
Anyway, what do y'all guys
want
to
do? In the wide world of weird.
Do we want to go down the wild world of weird?
Let's go there, boys.
We got to discuss homie. Because I want to see Cy's reaction when he hears this.
Cy, me and you both have the same boss, correct?
In theory.
Well, maybe.
Is Willie your boss or mine?
No, Willie's just my nephew.
Okay, your nephew, my boss.
Yeah, okay. He's your boss. He's just my nephew.
Well,
he
has a new hobby where he sends me weird articles he finds on the internet, and he wants us to talk about them.
Does that surprise you?
Not at all.
I was just thinking, say, the boy's weird to begin with, okay?
Well,
so, look, anything he's coming up with,
that's a crappie on your
head. It's in that world, that dimension. Okay.
Okay.
Nothing gets by you.
What has Willie come up with now? What's he getting
into? All right, he sent me the, and speaking of weird, 3 days ago this article was published. Human Ken doll spent $14,000 on plastic surgery in just 1 year. The 22-year-old from Hull, United Kingdom, controversy, has paid $14,150 to get lip fillers, cheek fillers, Botox, and veneers done in the last year. And next, he plans on getting a nose job.
For what?
So, what was the name again?
His name's Jimmy. His name is Jimmy Featherstone.
Jimmy Featherstone. That wasn't what was up there when I was looking at you.
What's a Ken doll?
Human Ken doll.
Ken doll.
Okay, what is a Ken doll?
Ken and Barbie.
Ken and Barbie.
Yes, Ken and Barbie.
So they're doing this to the doll, or is he doing this to himself?
He wants to be a Ken doll.
So he's having all these surgeries done?
Uh-huh. To be a toy from...
To be a toy?
Not even really from his childhood. Hey, I mean, he's only 22.
What you do is you find you a box.
Uh-oh.
Okay, you put this man in the box and send him to Santa Claus at the North Pole. Okay, and let them make him a doll. And he'll be given to kids.
I don't think that we want that from Jimmy Featherstone.
Why not?
Because he's trying to
the
look.
The boy wants what's the doll the be
motive?
A doll.
What's the motive?
So
is
direct
somebody
quote.
Paying him
hey,
to do that?
Santa Claus and the elves can pull this off. I'm telling you.
Wait for it.
His direct quote is about the doll. I just think he's plastic.
He's what?
He's plastic, fantastic, and looks amazing. This is a weird guy, man. Weird guys.
So, Si.
He wants to look more plastic.
What do you want to be when you grow up? I want to be a doll.
I just want to round up here to make the math easy. $15,000 this man has spent in a year to look like a piece of plastic.
And
what does that do for you?
What does that do for me?
I got to know.
Number one, he's got too much money. Okay, and he's wasting it badly. Okay.
Yuck. What if how much would it take somebody to spend to look like you?
Just time and pressure.
It may not be enough. It may not be enough money in the world to accomplish that. Okay? But anyway.
Okay.
But it's his money.
It is his
okay.
money.
Okay. It's his money. I'm wrong. Okay, I admit it. I'm wrong. It's your money. Hey, go for it, buddy. If that's what makes you feel good, more power to the people, baby.
Hey, that's not necessarily the way I thought that would go, but I'm not going to disagree with you. It is his money.
It's his money.
Well, I mean, has he paid cash for it?
There's a line.
Is this a sponsored deal? Right?
No, he's just a weird guy. And there's, hey, look, well, I'm
that's
a weird
what I
guy.
Would think.
Look,
he's doing it for a sponsor deal.
Well,
I mean,
here's the deal.
He probably get one now.
He's spending $14,000 on his hobby. His hobby potentially must be to look like Ken Doll.
Okay,
how much do we spend on hunting?
Hey, here we
fishing?
Go. This is from the psychiatrist, Dr. Robertson.
I love this.
Okay, hey.
I don't know where this is going, but I love it.
No, here it is. Okay. Number one, you've got a lot of insecurity issues, okay, if you're trying to make yourself look like a doll.
See, this is where I thought we would go. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know why it took so long to get there, but I thought this is where we would go.
That was my
I'll give you, and he was famous, the guy that had a lot of insecurity issues too, Michael Jackson. He was a great artist, okay?
One of the greatest ever,
okay? Had a lot of number one hit songs, okay? But he had a lot of insecurity issues, okay? And he was the same way. He was trying to make himself look like something, okay? And he spent, $15,000 on him, you know, maybe $15 million touched what he tried to do, okay?
So can we say, though, without a doubt from our experience, this man searching for happiness in the wrong place.
Yeah.
There it is. Yeah. All
right. Right.
We got to where I wanted
to. Yeah, you know the saying that, hey, beauty is only skin deep?
Yes.
How do I say this in a loving way?
A good Christian man way.
Okay. Hey.
It don't matter what you look like.
Save your money and learn to look in the mirror and say, you know what? I like that guy I'm looking at in the mirror.
There it is.
And I don't think there's anything wrong with trying to look better. I mean, we all try
to do that.
Oh,
there's nothing wrong with trying to look better.
But there's a point.
I gave up a long time ago.
Well, you look good. I think you're an attractive old man.
I ain't going to ever get that.
You run into the point that the Bible warns you about worshiping yourself versus our creator.
Yeah.
That's where what we believe and what he's got going on is there's a big clash happening right there on a lot. Now, granted, look, if this makes this guy feel better, by all means, don't lose sight of the end game of why you're doing this. Like, the end game shouldn't be just so you can look in the mirror and be okay. Like, it's the whole deal that we read the verse of don't store up your treasures here on earth, store them up in heaven.
Yeah,
like, so when this all goes away, that plastic is still going to be plastic.
I'd like to.
Except his ain't going to be plastic. It's going to be rotten flesh.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And the only thing that'll be left is the plastic. That's it. And we gone. We out of here. So
I'll give you an example. There's some people that have had facelifts, and trust me, they done been tightened down too much for they will never look right. Okay? Because they done tweaked them here and tweaked them there.
Oh, yeah.
And, hey, there ain't no more give in that skin. Okay,
it's done. Their face
the elasticity. Yeah, is gone. This baby ain't going to stretch no further.
And I'll say that, too. I think most – nice way to say this. I'm just going to say what I was thinking. Normal people would look at that and say, not find it even attractive.
Well,
you've gone too far.
You can't use that word. Okay.
You can't call people normal?
No.
I'm not normal. Hey,
because this podcast room ain't normal, okay?
That's true.
Nobody in here, okay? So the choice of words, choose another word.
Yeah, I couldn't think of it.
Yeah.
Normal's not the right
just
word.
Just not fit.
Yeah.
I'd like to see the headlines in another year. I bet you'll be hearing about him.
Hey, and how spend another $30,000. It's your money. Go for it.
He may end up being a sideshow attraction.
That's what I'm talking about.
Well, it may make him famous.
Bearded ladies. And
it may make him famous.
Yeah. Hey.
You never know. Hey, with the human race, anything is possible.
You ain't
lying. Well, ain't that the truth.
Okay.
Look at what's next
to
me.
But here's what I'll say. With God, all things are possible. Not anything. All things. So I'm going to roll with that one. But let's take our next break. We'll be
Roll Tide, baby.
Oh, my God. Why would you do that to me?
Wow, that was loud.
Hey, we're apologizing.
Y'all had to do it.
To those of you that had your...
You had to do it.
volume.
Sorry about that, boys.
He's not sorry.
All right, so we're back.
We're back.
You said he had sent you three articles. We got
he
through one.
He sent me three. I don't know that we're going to get through all. I think the next two aren't going to take as much time. I don't know. There's one that I'm going to save because it feels kind of like an attack. Never mind.
An attack?
Si read it.
What? Well, then let it roll.
I got to know now.
Si read it.
This is a good one.
It upsets me. It might upset some other people in this room. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Airlines could soon start weighing passengers before flights.
Oh, yeah. See, that's a problem.
If you're going to weigh me, you got to give me two seats for the price of one. Yeah. If I'm over whatever the limit is.
Oh, no.
What's the limit going to be first?
Well, we don't know.
They're going to weigh you and say, you're out.
I don't think they're going to.
No, they're not
going
to say you're out. They're going to say, give me more. Give me more.
Well, it's because it's the balance. I read the article.
That's what it's about, balance.
It's the balance of the plane. But unfortunately, here in America, and you know what? It's your fault, government. You stuck us in our houses for a full year. We're up. Our weight is up here in America.
Shocker.
Shocker.
Yeah. Amazing.
Oh. I'm doing my best to help with that.
You made it where we couldn't go to grocery stores, but people could bring us all the fried food we wanted. And now you're going to start charging us more to fly on planes. Yeah,
So now you're either going to have to be honest about your weight, or if they think you lied, step on the scale, sir.
Oh, my.
Which should probably be good for my health, because I would, every time I flew, I'd at least get a, you know, a small update. Because I don't really step on a scale too often.
I mean, what happens? I mean, what is their end game if you're up to 250 pounds can fly? What happens if you're 252?
I don't think that's going to happen. And, ooh, that's a scary number you just said, because some days I could fly, some days I couldn't.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying, like, I'm one poop away from making it or not. Like, you know?
you got to go hit the sauna.
Hold it, boys. I got to go over to the restroom I'll be back.
Depends on what shoes you wear.
Yeah. All right.
Well, I think it's a safety thing. Because have you ever been on a plane and they're like, we need somebody to go sit in the front?
I always volunteer.
I'll move.
Here, I don't care. Sure. Where do you want me?
So I think it's just
makes this plane get off the ground quicker? I'm in.
I just want to get over yonder.
Yeah.
But see, I have a personal problem. You don't weigh me. How about these people that everybody brings too much for their trips?
Yeah.
Make them throw away half the shoes they just brought for 3 days.
Yeah. I travel with a tiny bag for 2 or 3 days.
Tiny bag. That's all you need.
I need a couple pairs of underwear, some socks.
I can't leave this gut at home.
Yeah.
So I'm a little against it.
Yeah. There's got to be a better way than saying step on the scale.
The only thing I can come up with on this, with this conversation.
Tell us.
It's a people problem. Okay. This is just the human race being the human race.
Starting to make me uncomfortable.
Okay.
Hi. Well,
what do you mean making you uncomfortable?
He's talking about the airlines.
Oh, you're talking about the airlines, not me?
Well, I'm just saying, no, the human race.
He's saying everybody.
Everybody.
Yeah. Everybody. All right, well, I'll do better.
Let's get off the pizza.
Who are you to tell me I weigh too much?
No, absolutely
I'm not getting off
here's
the pizza.
Thing. That's who are all you to tell me I weigh too much?
I don't know. About 7-8 years ago, though, you could have told me, and you would have been absolutely right.
Because
I look back at like that first or second season of Duck Dynasty, and I'm like, golly, I swallowed a man.
You were a big boy.
I look like I ran face first into a beehive.
Oh, no. That's why Stone, you know, nobody knew Stone when he lost all his weight.
Yeah.
He went from about 250 to 165.
Yeah, I ain't ever getting there. Not without amputation.
No.
I'm going to have to lose a limb to get down there.
That's probably a leg.
Oh, no, that's coming.
All of it.
You just go through and tell me, hey, take off about 25 pounds. Right?
Yeah, you're too heavy to fly.
He's coming from me.
Anyway.
All right, next.
Next article. Si, have you ever been to a gender reveal party?
No.
Did y'all do that with your kids?
Yeah. No.
Did you even?
We didn't really care. All we wanted to do is say, hey, Doc, is it healthy?
Did you
know? Has it got 10 toes? I think we knew.
Did you know?
You knew before it was a boy and a girl? Okay.
Yeah. Well,
I didn't know at which part of the 1900s that became a possibility. So. Yeah.
My parents didn't know what I was until May 15th, 1989.
They wanted a surprise.
Yeah, they wanted the surprise.
Because a lot of people say, no, I don't want the doctor to tell me once he does the ultrasound.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let me just be surprised when it says, you know, hey, pass out a cigar, or hey, you know, show me pink.
Yeah.
So this man in Massachusetts, there was an explosion for a gender reveal. And he has been charged because he sparked fears of a possible earthquake with a gender reveal party.
Too much Tannerite.
Martin, you know redneck when you hear one.
Yeah, I know that. When I hear earthquake and explosion, Tannerite, baby. Yeah.
So they went out to the
smells like America.
He used the whole jar.
Yeah. Oh, hold on.
Redneck doing being a redneck.
He used a few of them.
A few jars?
Yeah.
Listen to this. So he was near the border of New Hampshire and Massachusetts in a quarry and had 80 pounds of Tannerite, an explosive compound, which we know about. And he mixed it with some blue chalk. Hey, congratulations on the boy, my man. And no one was injured, but there was great public alarm near Massachusetts.
He made another quarry.
Well, 80 pounds, of Tannerite,
That's a cool way to say, hey, I'm having a boy. Yeah. Shake the neighborhood.
Yeah, that's America right there.
He said, I'm being
that's the America I know.
Hey, that's a redneck being a redneck.
He said, I want everybody to know. Yeah. In the next state.
Yeah,
I want
even
to
over
know.
In Canada. We're going to tell them folks in Canada what's going
did
on.
Did they arrest him?
I don't know. They didn't arrest him. He did get a charge, but he's not arrested.
He was charged.
I'd like. I wonder if there was like a blue mushroom cloud.
Probably. Oh, it's still hanging.
You'd probably get on Google Earth and find it.
It stained the cloud.
80 pounds.
Oh,
so if you're listening and you're doing a gender reveal party,
you said
use less than 80.
Easy on the Tannerite, boys.
All we can tell you for sure is 80 is too much.
Too much.
Wow. 80. That was a bug.
What was their thought?
That pulled the air from around them whenever that happened.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They felt it go like this.
They felt that in their chest.
Well, they probably thought it was a earthquake.
Yeah.
No, they did.
No, everybody not there thought it was an earthquake.
And I don't think a lot of earthquakes happen in New Hampshire. Never been. I've never been in an earthquake, though, so I don't know what that would feel like.
I'd have rattled your teeth, boys. 80 pounds.
Give you a concussion.
Oh,
if
that's
close.
Fantastic. Well, look, let's go into our last break. We'll come back, get in that hello@duckcallroom.com mailbox and see what's going on. We'll be back right after this.
We got
some life advice.
Ha ha ha. And we're back. With that note of the Johnny D, tell us what's in that hello@duckcallroom.com mailbox. Where are we at this week?
Hold on, let me go back to this. I was reading something. Hey, we got some advice. Advice is needed for my man Steven.
Steven.
Because we've somewhat become relationship experts.
I
don't know how that happened. Yeah.
Hey,
if you
I
ask
still
our wives,
got my wife.
I can tell you this. Sunday will be 6 years. I am an expert.
Yeah. 32. I'm still there.
So, right. Steven is originally from, or Steve. He calls himself both. I'm going to go with Steve. He's originally from southern Idaho.
Okay.
But now he lives in California. I don't know how to say the city. You say
Potatoville, boys. That's where he's
California.
From.
He works for a church. He has an amazing girlfriend, godly woman.
Right.
She was born and raised in California. Her dad hunts. That's a good thing. But here's his question. How does he get his woman to go hunting with him? Because he's planning on tying the knot soon, but he would love to have his future kids hunt and hunt with her. He's used to hunting because he's from southern Idaho, but southern California,
so
now he's there. How does he get her on the hunting train? Martin, I'm bowing out because my wife doesn't hunt.
So, my wife didn't hunt when we met. So, now I did everything I could to make her first hunting trip enjoyable. But we had it planned, and then we got one of those nice little cold fronts, and it was miserable. But she stuck it out with me because she knew how much I loved it, and she wanted to see what it was about. She's like, I want to see what makes you tick. So, that was... For her, that was cool, but I also knew when to pull the plug. Like, it was cold, like miserably cold, and I looked over at her, and her face started changing colors a little bit, and I said, yeah, we got to go, and she was like, no, we ain't leaving. I was like, oh, we're leaving. Like, it's okay to call a hunt. Like, but the biggest thing you have to do for them is to keep it fun.
Yep.
You've got to keep it fun. Might I suggest, even from my experience, start her with either dove hunting. It's nice and warm. You don't have to hide, really. It's great weather. You can talk.
You can bring your
poodle.
Move.
If you need to use a restroom, not a big deal. Like, or even turkey hunt. You're up, you're active, you're moving, you're not just and the weather is always better. The weather, a lot of times for people that don't hunt, is the biggest turnoff to hunting. Like, nobody wants to freeze to death. Nobody wants to do that. But I, you know, you're from Southern Idaho, Stephen. I don't recommend taking her on a 3-mile backcountry elk hunt as her first experience. That's not where I would go. Keep it simple. Doves, turkeys. If you have preserves, go shoot some pheasant or whatever, stuff like that. Quail. Yeah. I mean, there's, you know, or even hogs. Like, I know California's got a wild hog problem. You know, so there's all types of opportunities. Or just take her to a gun range like a skeet club or something and see if she even enjoys it. Look, she doesn't have to enjoy it to get your kids to go hunting. Mm-hmm. Like, some stuff your wife doesn't necessarily have to do with you. But she does need to respect why you do it. So you need to introduce it to her. But if it's not for her, it's not for her, man. That's just that's part of it.
Yeah. Right. Take her out in the woods during the summer.
Yeah.
Get her used to being out in the woods and show her stuff.
Because Miss Paula's a deer slayer.
She wasn't. She wasn't at first. She liked to shoot archery in the yard with me. And she finally said, I think I want to try.
There you go.
In the yard, keep it fun.
You've made the important thing about, you know, your wife said, I want to understand why you enjoy it so much.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's one reason to introduce it to her. And like you said, the key to it is, especially like when you're taking kids, you've got to make it fun for them.
Mm-hmm. Okay? Keep it fun. Don't be serious.
Because if it's too serious, okay, they're not going to enjoy it, okay? Yeah. So they've got to enjoy it. Like, you know, I use Stone and his daughter, okay?
BK.
BK, okay? And he started her when she was really little, okay? And, like, hey, in the wintertime, he brought a heater where she wouldn't get cold.
Groceries.
Okay? And groceries, things to eat, okay? And you can't expect a child, he'll be still. No. You know, you put them in a deer stand, in a good one where they can move, okay? And if, like, he puts food plots and all this and plants it, okay? And I enjoy going with her more, okay, watching her enjoy the hunt.
Yeah. Okay. No, I agree. When you start taking people that haven't done it before, that is a lot of fun. Is it for us sometimes incredibly frustrating because – we, you know, if the ducks are coming and they flare them, that is frustrating.
But that's part of it.
But for them to finally see it all come together when they don't flare ducks and they get down in the hole and they get that excitement and then that all moment of like
when they kill their first one. Yeah, when they kill their first one or first boom, 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 they kill three.
Yeah.
And the expression, cool. Watching them, okay, tell me, now I understand why you get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and go and freeze your tail
and
off.
And now my wife loves to turkey hunt.
No.
And she loves to duck hunt with me. I took her deer hunting. Deer hunting, she's not really into it, which, great, because neither am I.
Yeah.
I mean, I deer hunt till duck season gets here. Like, I deer hunt is a means to an end. Yes, it's something to do. It's the fall of the year. I get to be in the woods. Just keep it fun and just don't stress over it. Like, those are some of my favorite mornings of the year is when she goes, because I'll hang my gun in a tree. I'm not worried about killing a thing.
And watch her.
But watch her become a better hunter. It's a lot of fun.
Excitement.
Too. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, and I was fortunate enough to go to a friend's place with Paula and – he has a camp and we stayed a couple of days and my wife's not one to be still. She's always picking up after you, washing dishes. She's got to be busy.
Your teacup won't still got plenty of sweat on it and it's gone and in the trash or in the dishwasher or something like that.
So we come in from hunting and she started cleaning up the kitchen. My buddy said, no, don't do that. I have people do that. And she was like, well, he said, get over there in that chair and take a nap. Well, she finally settled down and sat in that chair, and she did take a nap. She woke up, she looked over at me. She said, okay, I get it. But she told me something before that was, I'd never thought about it before. She said, I thought you went hunting to get away from me. I said, no, that's just how I grew up. That's my heritage. That's what my dad taught me. That's just what we did. And now she understands all about it.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, there's a peace that you find out there in the woods in the quiet. That you ain't going to find nowhere else. And it's
things
the other cool part about them, too, is when you take a new person, like if they are fortunate enough to harvest something, then you get to show them the full aspect of now we go clean it. Mm-hmm. They get a biology lesson if they've never learned it. Yep. Like you get to show them cool things about the animal and all that. But then the final reward of watching somebody who's never had it try wild game done correctly for the first time.
And they've gone through the whole process, killing it, you know, cleaning it.
It tastes that much better to them. Mm-hmm. And now all of a sudden, killing a deer, they get it. Like, this is why we hunt. Or same with a duck, same with doves, doesn't matter. It's an aha moment that, Steven, you'll get there, bro. You'll get there, but just understand, it doesn't have to be for her. And odds are, she's probably going to have a hobby that doesn't have to be for you. And let her have girlfriends that do it with her, and they have their little time, and then you got friends that you go do your time. And like I was said, it ain't getting away from each other. It's just recharging your battery so that when you get back, you're bought in, you're focused, and all that kind of good stuff. So the outdoors are a therapeutic place, my man. Yep. They help me more than a lot of things. Because I've tried a lot of other things.
Yeah. I remember me and my daughter would go squirrel hunting. We'd kill it, you know, come back home, then we'd skin it. And she's sitting there asking me, talking about, well, wait a minute, wait a minute. I done opened him up, you know, and you can see the inside. She said, what's that right there? And I said, kidney. So it was a biological class, okay? So she enjoyed it.
Yeah, well, you pulling out from under that arm, that scent gland. Get that thing out there. He'll ruin the whole pot.
You don't want to leave that in there. Cut it out. Throw it in the trash.
No, it's cool, man.
Yeah. But, hey, here's the thing. Martin said the other thing, okay? If she tries it and it's not for her,
don't force it.
Don't force it. Yeah. Okay. You can't make them like what you like.
Yep.
Okay.
They just need to respect.
You can take them. Okay. And then like his wife said, okay, I actually want to know why you enjoy going out there. And the main thing, most people don't realize it. Okay. You're out there in God's creation. Okay. And you see some of the neatest, coolest things. Okay. When daylight breaks. Okay.
My two favorite times of the day, when the world wakes up and when the world
goes to bed.
My two favorite times of day, right there.
Because the
thrashers are the first thing you hear.
Mm-hmm. And then the cardinals get rolling.
Oh, yeah.
And then them loudmouth mockingbirds get started. Rascals.
Rascals, he says.
Bringing the day in, boys.
Yeah.
Well. But
you'll know that by, like I said, take her out there in the woods in the summer. Take her scouting. Take her limbing up deer, you know.
Yeah.
Your deer stands.
Running trail cameras.
She'll let you know.
Trail cameras are a big thing that you can do as a family now.
Yep.
Like, it's a cool thing because now they get to, like, see what the work was about. Like, you can just show them, say, look what we got over here now. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, involve them in the fun stuff and the stuff that doesn't necessarily have misery involved with it. A lot of the hunts will. Just have fun. Like, this bunch around here loves to embrace the grind. I prefer to embrace the fun. So.
Yeah.
Amen.
That'll
preach there, Martin.
If I can't have fun, guess what? Someone's fixing to be absent.
Your boy gone.
Yeah. I ain't there.
He gone.
Yeah,
well, let's wrap it up with a Bible verse for
you. Oh, yeah. Thanks, Stephen. Great question. Appreciate it. We wish you and your lady friend a lifetime of happiness when y'all do decide to get married. But today's verse, I'm going to run it back to that third segment or so. Genesis 1, verse 26, right there at the beginning. God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground.
Verse 27, so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them. That's a cool verse. Yep. You know, if you're worried about what you look like, let me tell you what you look like. You look like God because he made you in his image. And then the second part of the verse is good, too, because we're going to rule over fish, birds, livestock, and wild animals.
Hey, whack them and stack them.
Whack them
and stack them and griddle them, boys.
We'll see y'all next time right here in the Duck Call Room. We're out.
Right here. Goodbye.